Good evening. Welcome to our Wednesday Center Point, a midweek refresh, and very excited and grateful to be together for our teaching point, our teaching devotion on prayer. On prayer devotion, we are considering the prayer that our Savior gave to his disciples. Some call it the Lord's Prayer. It might be better aptly put the disciples' prayer. But tonight we're going to look at one of the petitions, Your Kingdom Come. Now, something that is known about God and clearly taught in the scriptures is that God is King. He is the one who's created all things. He's in charge of all events. He is big. He is great. He is sovereign. You know, in Proverbs it says the die is cast, but it's every decision is from the Lord. And the Bible reminds us God does whatsoever he pleases. And God is the one who through creation and in providence is at work in such a way that even Joseph says, though they, referring to his brothers and perhaps even some others, they meant it for evil, you meant it for good. And even in Peter's sermon in the book of Acts, there's reference to our Savior in these words, by the hands of lawless men, the Jews of Jerusalem crucified and killed Jesus. But that God was overruling, that Jesus was delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. The Bible teaches that God is King. But what's taught in this petition of the Lord's Prayer, when we pray, Your Kingdom Come, is not so much this idea that God is King, but rather that God has a kingdom. Perhaps towards the end of the prayer, when we pray, For thine is the kingdom, that refers to perhaps Jesus's kingship. But here we are praying about Jesus's kingdom. Jesus's kingdom is more understood in the Bible as tied to his work of redemption and salvation. It is due to his grace, his redeeming work, that he has brought his people into a new realm of life and of existence. It doesn't refer so much to a place, but instead more so to a relationship. It is the reign of God's grace, advancing in the hearts and lives of those who through faith repent of their sins and trust in Jesus and his work and in his authority. It is that realm where we as Christians seek to enthrone the Lord, where we acknowledge the truth of who he is and are increasingly living our lives in the reality of who Jesus is and of the kingdom that he has brought. Now, among Jesus's first words is, as he begins his ministry, the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is at hand. It is nearby. It is coming. And it's very clear in the Gospels, even by the ministry of John the Baptist, that what is being referred to is the ministry of Jesus himself. You know, the way to the kingdom is the way of new life. That's what Jesus said to that religious teacher, Nicodemus, when he said to him, to this teacher of Israel, you must be born again. And talking about being born from above, born into a whole new realm of life, of existence, of a new relation with God, in which one receives God's forgiveness, in which one's life is being reshaped by the Lord and the gospel, where God's truths and claims take precedence over all others, where allegiance to the Lord is the greatest allegiance that we adhere to and follow. It's such a transforming thing that the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5 talks about Christians, those who have come in, as it were, to the kingdom, who now have a relationship with King Jesus, are those who are of a new creation. It's so different from our original state of life in a fallen world, so that we are described as being made new or born from above. It's a description of transformation. And so when we pray, your kingdom come, part of what we're praying is that God's word and rule, his reign, would advance in our own lives. Robert Munger in the 1950s wrote a little booklet called My Heart, Christ, Home. And it's based on Jesus's words, where he says in his upper room discourse, I will come, I will dwell with you, I will indwell you, to believers. And he goes through a house, and the rooms of a house, the library, our thinking, the playroom, our recreation. He goes through every dimension. And he talks about how that the Lord Jesus is wanting to come and pervade our thinking, our living, and every sphere, every area of life, that we might be his. That is part of what we are praying for when we pray, your kingdom come. But this is just one aspect of praying for the advance of the Lord's kingdom, as it were, as we are growing in grace. There's also this sense that Jesus' kingdom comes as he returns in triumphal glory, and his kingdom has begun. He is the king, and his kingdom is here, as it were, with those who truly, savingly know him and have been born out of darkness and brought into his light. But a day is coming when the curtain will come down on this world as it now exists, and his kingdom will be fully realized. It's been inaugurated. A day is coming in which it will be consummated when he returns in great glory, when his kingdom fully comes. It is something that Christians long for. Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. I know you have cried that in your own life and experience, perhaps with a distaste of this world and a taste of glory and an anticipation of glory to come. There's also this sense of praying that his kingdom come, that it also advance into the lives of others. That others come in to his kingdom. That others come to know him. For there's life only in his name. There's only one name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. And we've been entrusted with that message of life. And so our prayers are to be shaped that our family members who are in the far country, children who may be prodigal, parents, neighbors, teachers who are far from the Lord, that they may come to know him and his kingdom indeed might advance and spread. It is a grand prayer that we are invited to pray. The scope of it is the heart and life of every saving, trusting believer, that God would make further inroads into our own lives. And indeed, it's a personal prayer. Lord, change me, begin with me. May the reality of your truth, your kingdom, your word become more and more real in my own life and experience. But it's also that others might be brought into that kingdom and others come to know Jesus and find life as it's meant to be lived and found in him alone. It is a great and glorious thing that our Lord Jesus is a king, and that he is the king who has brought the kingdom, for he himself is that kingdom, a relationship with him. So as we begin our prayer time, let's begin with a season of praise to God for the marvel of the gospel and what he has done, that we can know him as king, that we have fresh life through his work on the cross, that we can breathe in his grace. So let's have a season punctuated by praise to who the Lord is, for who he is, and what he has done in the gospel of his son. And we will first just pray around all together as one group as you make your way to tables. I would encourage you to pray. Pray aloud if you would like. If you pray aloud, pray that others can maybe hear and join in with you in that prayer. Would ask as well if you're not praying aloud, that you just quietly join those who are praying aloud. So let's go to God's throne of grace, bringing our praise to our King, King Jesus, as we pray, your kingdom come. Let's pray.